Even from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Andhakrushe sharire smin saptavarana samyute Kayasya krusho yosau bhagavandharanasaya. The gigantic universal form of the personality of Godhead within the body of the universal self, which is covered by sevenfold material elements, is the subject for the Bharat conception. The gigantic universal form of the personality of Godhead within the body of the universal shell, which is covered by sevenfold material elements, is the subject of the Bharat conception. Purport. Simultaneously, the Lord has multifarious other forms, and all of them are identical with the original fountainhead form of the Lord, Sri Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, it has been proven that the original transcendental and eternal form of the Lord is Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead. But by his inconceivable internal potency, Atmamaya, he can expand himself by multifarious forms and incarnations simultaneously. Without being diminished in his full potency, he is complete, and although innumerable complete forms emanate from him, he is still complete without any loss. That is his spiritual or eternal internal potency. In the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, manifests his Bharat Rupa, just to convince the less intelligent men who cannot conceive of the Lord as appearing just like a human being. That he is factually has the potency of his claim to be the supreme absolute person without any rival or superior. Materialistic men can think, although very imperfectly, of the huge universal space comprehending as innumerable number of planets as big as the sun. They can see only the circular sky overhead without any information that this universe, as well as many other hundreds of thousands of universes, are each covered by sevenfold material coverings of water, fire, air, sky, ego, noumenon, and material nature, just like a huge football, pumped up and covered, floating on the water of the causal ocean. Within the Lord, wherein the Lord is lying is Mahavishnu. All the universes and seed are emanating from the breathing of Mahavishnu, but who is but a partial expansion of the Lord, and all the universes presided over by the Brahmas vanish when the Mahavishnu withdraws his great breath. In this way, the material worlds are being created and vanished by the supreme will of the Lord. The poor, foolish materialist can just imagine how ignorantly he puts forward an insignificant creature to become his rival incarnation, simply on the allegations of a dying man. The Bharat Rupa was particularly exhibited by the Lord just to give lessons to such foolish men, so that one can accept a person as the incarnation of Godhead only if such a person is able to exhibit such a Bharat Rupa as Lord Krishna did. The materialistic person may concentrate his mind upon the Bharat, a gigantic form of the Lord, in his own interest, and as recommended by Shukadeva Goswami. But he must be on his guard not to be misled by pretenders who claim to be the identical person as Lord Krishna, but who are not able to act like him or exhibit the Bharat Rupa comprehending the whole of the universe. Om Jnana Tamanandasya. Janjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Krishnaya Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Sarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So we're in the section of the Bhagavatam. Remember where Maharaj Prickett has been told, or Sukadeva Goswami has explained to Maharaj Prickett that he should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are certain conditions to cultivate. And this kind of concept is always there. That after telling what to do, this is the practice of Krishna consciousness in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, which is in the 9th chapter of the 2nd canto. One of the 4 nutshell verses discusses this Abhideya Tattva, and it says that we should search for the absolute truth directly and indirectly. And Prabhupada explains directly and indirectly to mean the guru tells what's the rules and he tells what the regulations are. And he tells you what to do, but he also tells you what to avoid. That's indirectly. And he also tells you to directly chant about Krishna, but he also may explain about Vanashram. That's indirectly. So we always see that it's so easy what the goal is to chant and hear about Krishna, but to do it, there may be certain other things that you have to cultivate. I always thought about Vibhu Chaitanya here, who would, very simple, he would just cook for the deities, you know, all day long, and he'd spend his time in the kitchen. So simple. He didn't really go to class so much or hear other things. You know, it was just so simple. He just cooked for the deities and chanted Hare Krishna. But just think, if we thought that we could become Krishna conscious just by that, what would come for our mind? Well, why am I the only one that's doing all the service? You know, I'm alone. I'm cooking all the offerings. You know, the mind would go because there's not a background of knowledge to support that simple endeavor of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, also in the Bhagavad Gita, the middle 6 chapters of the Bhakti Yoga section, 6 to 12, but 13 starts Jnana Yoga, because there's some knowledge that you need to cultivate it, the 3 modes of material nature. There's knowledge that you need to cultivate to stay fixed on that path. In the same way, although Maharaj Prickett had 7 days left to live and he was told directly what his duty is, still Sukadeva Goswami explained some other conditions that would help him in that duty of chanting Hare Krishna, focusing his mind on Krishna. So we saw there was a nice little description of what you do. You should leave home. We discussed the reason why. The importance of sannyas at the end of life was discussed, and that one should be sober, clean. He should take advantage of a holy place. He should have a sitting place. Sitting place for worship is actually important, an exclusive place. When you sit down on it, it means it is only Krishna. I discussed that before, that perhaps my realization of Kartik is that we need some time in our life just for exclusively Krishna, where we really have vrata to keep other things out. And if not some month during the year, like Kartik, at least some days during the month. And then I was thinking, if not some days during the month, at least some time during the day. And therefore, we should have an asana or a seat where we worship. And when we're on that seat and that place, there's nothing else that happens. Militantly. And people know, if we're living in a family or with other people, they know. When I'm in worship, then other things don't come up. There's no phone calls, there's no emails, there's no discussions of anything else. No one comes walking in and, oh, by the way, Prabhu, nothing. There must be a place for worship. So this kind of concept of the necessity of that to actually get realization. Once your devotional service becomes mixed, the realizations don't really come so easily. They come in another way, through all your suffering. But once your devotional service becomes mixed, once you're lack, it's very, very hard to get the realizations. But when you do the Ekadasi, or you have this thing, or you go on pilgrimage, or you have your mourning in a very solid way, and then the realizations can come. The realizations can come. Just like when water is mixed with something else, you don't get the taste. When it's not mixed with anything else, you get the taste. And that's why ruchi comes after nishta. Because when you're fixed, and there's nothing else in the consciousness, then you can really experience what you're doing, which is associating with Krishna. So we kind of saw this kind of the progression, and then how you control your mind and the transcendental sound vibration is the most potent thing to purify the mind, which is materially absorbed. And then he begins to describe when the mind is under control, then what one should actually think of. He should think of Krishna. He should think of Vishnu. And he begins to describe that meditation, which is very systematic, beginning with the limbs. There should be no other thought. And it should be on Vishnu, because Vishnu is ultimately the absolute truth. And it's ultimately the platform of meditation where you can have your ultimate rest or satisfaction. And he describes this. And how the dirty things can be rectified, can be cleansed by the relationship of Vishnu. And therefore he begins to describe this system of how you can fix your mind so that devotion can come. How you can fix the mind. And he describes about this system. Not initially, he describes this is a system we should fix the mind. The seeing God in the world. And then after this, then Krikshit, he inquires to describe in detail how and where the mind should be fixed so the dirty things in the heart can be removed. This is what we want at the end of our life. We want the dirty things in our heart removed, because if we have dirty things in the heart, they will carry us to another body to have them fulfilled, even if it's a revenge for someone that we're harboring. He got me, I'll get him. We want to be free of all those desires in our heart so that we don't have to come back to fulfill them. And Maharaj Prickett also understood this. I have 7 days left to live. And I want these dirty things removed. So tell me this system of remembrance. And Sukadeva Goswami, again, he began to describe Jitasana, Jita Sangha, Jita, control the senses, control your association. Your sitting place should also be controlled, and how you sit should be controlled. This is serious business. Purify your mind and intelligence, control them, and then apply your mind to seeing the world in relationship to God. And then this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining, This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal world as a whole is the body, personal body of the absolute truth, wherein the universal resultant past, present, and future, the material time, is experienced. So within matter, time is experienced. Time is in relationship to the material world. So you should meditate on this. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada said also, he's giving different aspects of the Virat Rupa, but one aspect of the Virat Rupa is the test of one's divinity, because there's so many bogus personalities. The test of the divinity is that you actually are the creator. Because other things are too easy to imitate. Krishna's affairs with the gopis, you know, your sweetness. Those things are too easily imitated. They're not imitated, but because they deal with more a quality than a quantitative realization, then they're a little bit easier to imitate. Just like if you want to imitate being an advanced devotee, you can cry, you can roll on the floor. You know. But the real symptoms that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said is you should be detached from the world, forbearant, use all your time in Krishna's service. These symptoms cannot be imitated so easily. So you can demonstrate yourself like this. Now, I read in the Bhagavatam again in the first canto, it's described that the Virat Rupa is imaginary. And that it's for the materialist to get accustomed to God having a form. It's described like this. And the example that Prabhupada gave is so brilliant. He gave the example that just as you can identify the thing by its external covering. And therefore, if a car rides by, Prabhupada said, you know, you can imagine a car and it has the, you know, windows that are tinted, you can't see them, but you know it's the president's car. You say, there is the president. So you're identifying the person with the external covering. But at the same time, you're meditating on the person, even though you're identifying him with the external covering. And then the verse given in the Bhagavatam describes just as you can say that the air is dirty. So you identify it as something with its external covering. In the same way, we can identify the Supreme Lord with his external covering, which is the material world. But of course, there's the other point that it's also his energy, simultaneously one and different. So you can meditate on the Lord form by meditating on the material world and imagining it in relationship to God's form. And that is a very pure, that helps you to become more personal. It helps you to develop a sense of devotion. And you can see that even, you know, the ordinary thing is that when we see awe-inspiring material phenomena, it can make us godly. It can make us divine. I gave that example in the Himalayas, just seeing how powerful it is and knowing that, you know, it's created by God, and you know, and you just develop some sense of devotion. Devotion means that he's so great, let me serve him. Automatically it comes to the heart. And then seeing him as the essence of everything, in the mode of goodness, if you pick up a flower and smell the fragrance and meditate on it, and that this is the vibhuti or potency of God, you know. It is, but with the knowledge, then you can focus your mind so you sense that. Just like in the, you may walk around, but then, and see flowers and everything and just not think it's connected to God, but then read in the Bhagavad Gita how it's God's energy, and with that little conception in it, then walking around and seeing the world and experiencing things. Prabhupada said even a drunk, if he takes alcohol and thinks that the taste is the vibhuti of God, he can become purified. So what the Virat Rupa conception is just a little conception and knowledge to help you connect what you are observing with God. And by doing that, it'll make you devotional, it'll make you spiritual. And that was mentioned in a previous verse. I'm not sure if I got the Sanskrit right, but it said, by this meditation, then, yogina bhakti lakshana. You'll get some symptoms of bhakti, you'll get some symptoms of devotion. So this is the system that is there. So this is the first step in God realization for people who are on the material platform. Now, very interesting. We'll go on. Andakoshe sarire smin saptavarana shamyute vairaja purusho yosau bhagavan taranasaya. Gigantic universal form of the personality of Godhead within the body of the universal shell, which is covered by sevenfold material elements, is the subject for the Virat conception. So there's the universe and it's covered by the sevenfold elements. So that universe within that shell is the subject or is the object of this dharana or conception. Now, in the purport, it said the Virat Rupa was particularly exhibited by the Lord just to give lessons to such foolish men so that one can accept a person as the only... Oh, wait. What is this? The poor, foolish materialist can imagine how ignorantly he puts forward an insignificant creature to become his rival incarnation simply on the allegations of a dying man. Who is that? The allegations of the dying man. Don't become angry, Dadu. If you see what they have done in Bengal. Patakam Patalam etasya hiparamulam patanti parni Papa Deva Sattalam Mahattalam Vishva Svijotaguho Talattalam Vai Purushasya Jangre. Persons who have realized it have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottoms of the feet of the Universal Lord, and the heels and toes are the Risatala planets. The ankles are the Mahattala planets, and the shanks constitute the Talattala planets. So the Patante, those who study it, you know, the universe has planetary systems, so the bottoms of the feet and Tapaloka, and the higher ones, the heavenly planets, are the head. So there's some kind of conception that it's God's body, and it is his body in that sense. As this is our body, but it's not us. But at the same time, when you respect someone, you respect his body. His body, you know, there's some connection. So God has accepted the universe as his body. So by worshiping him in that relationship, some devotion comes. Now, Prabhupada, throughout these purports, he just says different things that help us pierce together, helps us put together this different conception and understand what's going on here, because it's so foreign to us, this pantheistic vision and how, why it's mentioned and what's the purpose of it. Outside the bodily existence of the personality of Godhead, the manifested cosmic existence has no reality. So this is the point. Outside of connection with God, matter has no reality. The reality is that it's God's energy. So what the universal, this meditation does it's one sense it's imaginary, and sometimes it says it's so-called imaginary, because you're imagining is what you're not seeing, which is real. What you're imagining is that it's part of God, which you're not seeing, which is real. So in one sense, it's an imagination. In the other sense, it's Gyana Chakshus. It's looking at things from what it really is. It may not be exactly the veins of God, but it's of God, and it's God's energy. And it's fixing up your consciousness, and therefore it's purifying you. Because ultimately pure means to come to the original thing. And the original thing of the living entity is that he's devotee. So it's actually purifying one by making one a devotee. The conception of the universal form gives a chance to the materialist to think of the Supreme Lord. But the materialist must know for certain that his visualization of the world and his spirit of lording it over is not God realization. So this is the key. We're used to looking at the world as energy separate from God for our enjoyment. And that's what sense gratification is. Maya is sense gratification. Maya means not this. It's God's, but we see it as not this. Why? It's due to that initial spirit that has brought us into illusion in the material world, which is the enjoying spirit. And due to that enjoyment means a sense of superiority, not just sensual experiences. You know, that's why the envy is there and the competition. Because our enjoyment is that I'm better. I'm better. I'm superior. So to have that sense of superiority, you have to have a sense of control and possessiveness. And therefore you have to be put in an illusion, because that's not what you are. You're not controlling, and it's not yours. So by that desire, we tend to see things as separate from God, so we can identify them as our own and control and enjoy in this world. So that's the attitude that keeps us in the material world. So this Virat Rupa conception, it takes away the illusion, because you start seeing the creation of God's body and His. So in so many ways you can see even this conception here is working on the materialistic psychology and spiritualizing it. The materialistic view of exploitation of material resources is occasioned by the illusion of the external energy of the Lord. And as such, if anyone wants to realize the supreme truth by conceiving the universal form, he must cultivate the service attitude. Unless the service attitude is revived, the conception of Virat realization will have very little effect on the seer. That devotion means the service attitude. When you get devotion in your heart, it means that you want to serve someone, that you want their pleasure to be your pleasure, rather than everyone else's activities to be for your pleasure. You want your pleasure, your activities, to be for the pleasure of someone else. That's what devotion. If there's a real spirit of devotion, then your happiness becomes that person's pleasure. And therefore you want to serve. What does serve mean? Serve means that you want to create the environment for the object of your love's pleasure. And you also want to be an object of his pleasure. So this is described. Now we'll just read the knees of the universal form of the planetary systems of the name Sutala, and the two thighs of the Vitala and Atala planetary systems, the hips of the Mahitala, and outer space is the depression of his navel. The chest of the original personality of the gigantic form is the luminary planetary system. His neck is the Mahar planets. His mouth is the Janas planets. And his forehead is known as the Tapis planetary system. The topmost planetary system, known as Satyaloka, is the head of he who has 1,000 heads. The universal form also means that, and Prabhupada discusses that. The 11th chapter describes the universal form. What is the universal form? Krishna tells Arjuna, with a spark of my splendor, I am pervading the whole universe. He says, let me see that form. And therefore, it means that Krishna is everywhere. So Arjuna sees how Krishna is manifest everywhere in the world. In that sense, it's impersonal. Because it's how God is spread everywhere. Therefore, it's a thousand heads. He sees, he's everywhere. By the spark of his splendor, he's manifest everywhere. His arms are the demigods headed by Indra. The ten directional sides are his ears, and the physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the two Ashwini Kumaras, and material fragrance is his sense of smell. His mouth is the blazing fire. So also the demigods are coming from him. The real entity is the Lord himself, and all others are imaginary, for everything is included in him only. Since the demigods are included in the gigantic form of the Lord, worship the Lord, whether in his gigantic material conception or his eternal transcendental form as Lord Krishna, also appeases the demigods as much as watering the root distributes the energy everywhere. It leads one to the right path, because you're seeing God as the source of everything. The sphere of outer space constitutes his eye pits, and the eyeball is the sun, and the power of seeing. His eyelids are both the day and night, and in the outer movements of his eyebrows, the Brahma and similar supreme personalities reside. His palate is the director of water, Varuna, and the juice, or everything, essence of everything, is his tongue. The rasa is his jiva, is his tongue. The rasa, the taste of everything. The Prabhupada points out here that this sometimes appears contradictory statement. But we must accept the description of the Shastras and concentrate more on the form of Virat Rupa than common sense. Common sense is always imperfect, whereas the descriptions of the Shastras is always perfect and complete. If there's any incongruity, it is due to our imperfection and not the Shastra. That's the method of approaching Vedic wisdom. Approaching Shabda Brahma. They say that the Vedic hymns are the cerebral passage of the Lord, and his jaws of teeth are Yama, god of death, who punishes the sinners. The art of affection is his set of teeth, and the most alluring, illusory material energy is his smile. This great ocean of material creation is but the casting of his glance over us. So it's very nice. Sneha Kala, the art of affection, Vijani, is his set of teeth. And the most alluring, illusory material energy is his smile. Everything in this material world is connected with that. Modesty is the upper part of his lips. Hankering is his chin. Religion is the breast of the Lord, and irreligion is his back. Brahmaji, who generates all living entities in the material world, is his genitals, and Mitra, Varuna, are his two testicles. The ocean is his waist, and the hills and mountains are the stacks of his bones. That you can meditate on. Actually, after reading this, it has some effect on your consciousness. You start looking around the world and feeling some sense there. O King, the rivers are the veins on the gigantic body, the trees are the hairs of his body, and the omnipotent air is his breath. The passing ages are his movements, and his activities are the reaction to the three modes. O best among the Kurus, the clouds which carry water are the hairs on his head, the terminations of days or nights are his dress, and the supreme cause of material creation is his intelligence. His mind is the moon, the reservoir of all changes. The principle of matter, Mahatattva, is the consciousness of the omnipresent Lord, as asserted by the experts, and Rudradev is his ego. The horse, mule, camel, and elephants are his nails, and wild animals are all quadrupeds, are all situated in the belt zone of the Lord. Varieties of birds are indication of his masterful artistic sense. Actually, that's a deep meditation. I think they say that Vrindavan has the largest varieties of birds in the world. Someone told me that. Bharatpur Bird Sanctuary, they fly from all over the world. You see amazing birds. So that's God's artistic sense. Manu, the father of mankind, is the emblem of his standard intelligence, and humanity is his residence. Human society is the residential quarters for the Lord. This means that human being is meant for God realization, associating with God. Humanity is God's residence, where he lives. Varieties of birth. The celestial species of human beings, like the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, Charanas, and angels, all represent his musical rhythm. And the demoniac soldiers are representations of a wonderful prowess. The varieties of birds are the chitra, his artistic sense. And these Gandharvas, celestial species, they sing so beautiful, are his tat vyakaranam, vocables. This means his singing. We can appreciate in this way. When Krishna is in Vrindavan, the birds are symphonic. The sounds of the birds are very symphonic. It's very, the original music is coming from God. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in the commentary in the 10th canto, they're describing the rasa dance. Because the rasa dance is where Krishna, can you shut the door please? Because the rasa dance is where Krishna is enjoying all varieties of love. Krishna is enjoying the perfect intensified affection of his devotees. So the rasa dance means where he's enjoying all those relationships, indirect and direct. And he's enjoying them to the fullest extent. And the environment is also, the environment, the Vrindavan means that everything is moving to increase and perfect the love of the devotees. Even sometimes we see that Krishna is threatened by a demon. So the mother has fear. So the fear of the mother increases her love. So the pastimes are simply increasing Krishna's love. And there's always the proper environment. It's like in the materially, in the materialistic sense, when there is romance, there's a particular type of music. And it facilitates that type of exchange. So therefore, even the rasa dance is also music. Music is being played in beautiful ragas or melodies. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that, you know, this is the original melody comes from the spiritual world. And that he said that every species of life can be represented by a particular melody. Like the elephant. And so there's some melodies that kind of go up and then down. And, you know, there's crickets and there's all kinds of melodies originally there. So everything wonderful is ultimately emanating from God. And therefore, you can see God in how he's organized the world and his beautiful qualities. It's just like if you go to a temple, and that temple, they're doing everything according to Prabhupada's intelligence. You know, the people are really fixed up on Prabhupada. So you look at the deities, and the deities are just as Prabhupada had it. And then you sit down to take prasadam, and the preparations are just as Prabhupada had taught the devotees. And then the activities are there of the devotees. And it's just how Prabhupada taught. And then you see the relationships between the devotees, and it's just as Prabhupada taught. And then you see how everything was clean, and it was just like Prabhupada's standard. And then you go into the treasury, you know, and the money is dealt with in the proper way. And then you see the organization of the morning program, and it's like, so therefore what happens? You'll feel Prabhupada's presence, because you'll see his intelligence manifest, and therefore you'll feel devotion for Prabhupada. The same way in the material world, when you see sounds and sights that are very, very beautiful, it's actually the intelligence of God manifest within this world. And therefore, with some devotional conception or fixing your intelligence in that way, you'll develop devotion in the world by seeing very beautiful things. The ability of man, the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon. Wonderful things, vibhutis, potencies, which are coming from God. They're not man created by man. That's why Prabhupada wanted the schools in the country. As he said, the country, he quoted the poet Koper, the country is created by God, the city is created by man, and the country is created by God. So if you see a city, what happens is you'll see this asphalt, you'll see these huge buildings, and you'll see these bridges made out of metal, and you'll see computers and electronic things. And you'll become awestruck with the wonder. But what will you be thinking? How intelligent man is. He's done so many things. And God's intelligence is completely covered unless you have the intelligence to see that God's the ability in man. But in the country, when you go in the country and you grow vegetables, you see them grow and you watch them and you see the fresh air and the air, you know, everything that you're relishing is directly connected with God without man trying to take the credit or covering it. Therefore, the country life is much more suitable for self-realization. Unless you're preaching, then you'll view the city in another way. You'll view that this is taken by man and should be given to God. You'll view it another way. The Bharat Purush's face is the Brahmins. His arms are the Kshatriyas. His thighs are the Vaishyas. And the Sudras are under the protection of his feet. All the worshipable demigods are also overtaken by him. And it is the duty of everyone to perform sacrifice with feasible goods to appease the Lord. The Prabhupada describes, this is kind of the culmination of the universal form, that everything is coming from God, and therefore it's the duty to perform sacrifice to appease Him. And this is actually the essence of Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means that we have a materialistic consciousness, and therefore we're seeing God's energy for our pleasure. So what we do is we give the results of our activities to God, and therefore it purifies our consciousness, because then we start seeing God's energy as His. When you enjoy God's energy, you see it as yours. When you use it in His service, then you recognize it as His. So Prabhupada's describing in the purport the sacrifice. Everything. Sacrificed by every one of them in terms. All people must please God by feasible good. Prabhupada said, generally it's with ghee, but with progress, human sight has produced so many goods, and they're italics. Therefore, one must learn to offer sacrifice, not only with clarified butter, but also with other manufactured goods in the propagation of the Lord's glory, and that will bring about perfection in human society. Prabhupada's, it's italics because it's his vision. Prabhupada's a revolutionary. Not just swaha, 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 but seeing everything meant for God's service and to be used to propagate and glorify Him. And with this principle, Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness all over the world and had the intelligence to use so many things in Krishna's service. So all varieties of people, he describes, sudras, vaishyas, they all must use their special talent to serve God. Now he's, the last two more verses, he's going to conclude it. I have thus explained to you the gross, material, gigantic conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who seriously desires liberation concentrates his mind on this form of the Lord because there is nothing more than this in the material world. This is reality. There's nothing more than the universal form in the world. There's nothing more than God's energy. So Swabuddhi, by his intelligence, he should understand, not yata, beyond him, asti. There is not anything beyond this universal form in this world. There's not anything beyond God's energy in this world. And if you want to become liberated, you have to start fixing your consciousness in this conception. So you can see how it's also related to a devotee. He has to fix his mind and conception that this is God's energy, and that he has to act on that platform and not get in the illusion. That's why the service attitude is needed. You must cultivate the service attitude. You must see everything, not as yours, but as God's. Manasa. Manasa, deho, geho. My mind, my body, my house, everything belongs to you, O son of Nandamara. So it's so wonderful how Prabhupada takes this first step of God realization and puts it into our own consciousness, our own meditation, our devotional service. This is again this Buddhi sanity. The intelligence must be the controller. We must fix up our intelligence and we must exert our proper conception in our meditations, practices, and activities in this world. Must be fixed up in the proper conceptions and use it in our devotional practices. We must approach the holy name with our intelligence. We must be a little bit thoughtful first. With a conception, what is this? Naman Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. This is Rasa Vigraha. This is Krishna's name. It's not different than him. This is, when you see the deities, you can look at the deities and think that this is the holy name. And when you chant the holy name, you can think this is the deity. When you go to the deities in the morning, you can think the holy name is manifest. Not different. So Buddhi Sadati, it was described that Sukadeva was explaining how to prepare yourself, the conception. You must fix up your intelligence in the right conception. And therefore you must consciously look at the world. There's nothing beyond God in this world. Everything is connected to Him. Materialistic philosophers and scientists are too much engrossed with atomic energy and the gigantic situation of the universal form, and they offer more respect to external phenomenal features of material manifestation than the noumenal principle of spiritual existence. We must see the numeral principle, not just the phenomenal principle, not just what is manifest, but what is actually there. We must consciously look at the world, not just externally, but seeing God's will and seeing God's energy. The transcendental form of the Lord is beyond the jurisdiction of such material activity, and is very difficult to conceive. The Lord is trying to demonstrate the virat. This process of concentrating on different bodily parts of the Lord will gradually diminish the demoniac challenge of godlessness and bring about a gradual development of devotional service to the Lord. This is it. And then the last verse. One should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations in dreams. One must concentrate the mind on him, the all-blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, he will be misled and will cause his own degradation. So you must concentrate your mind on Krishna, and you understand that he is manifest in so many things. But that comes from him. So meditate on him. You just meditate on the manifestations in this world. Your mind may become degraded because you may see them as separate from God. So meditate, concentrate your mind on the personality of God, who alone, Eka, alone, one and the same as him. Everyone should be cognizant of God. That's what the verse says. Sarve, everyone, anabhuta, cognizant, but he of God. That he is the Supreme Person. And from him is manifesting. Just as an ordinary person creates thousands of manifestations. One must concentrate on him. Otherwise, the mind will be misled and will cause their own degradation. Otherwise, you'll go in the world and you'll see so many varieties of things and your mind will become degraded that they're for me. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. So this devotional service is indicated by this first topic. We try to impress upon us that instead of diverting our attention to several branches of self-realization, we should concentrate upon the Supreme Personality of God as the supreme object of realization, worship, and devotion. He's manifesting everywhere in so many ways that we should meditate on him. And that's why it says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, I am the fire, I am the sacrifice, I am the ritual, I am, meaning we should worship Krishna. So this is presented here. Now, very interesting. The Virat Rupa, or the gigantic feature of the Supreme Lord, includes everything materially manifested. And therefore, the Virat, or gigantic feature of the Lord, is the super soul of all living entities and non-entities. So the Virat is actually the super soul, because it's Krishna manifested everywhere. It's the Paramatma. He's manifested everywhere. So if you're seeing Krishna in different parts of the creation, you're actually at the meditation, you should understand it's the super soul. But the Virat Rupa is also a manifestation of Narayana and Vishnu. The super soul is Vishnu. So it's actually a manifestation of Vishnu everywhere. And going further on, one will even see that Lord Krishna is the ultimate super soul of everything that is. So ultimately, you'll have prema, pramanjana charita bhakti valochane na. You'll see God, Krishna, Shamasunda in everyone's heart and everywhere, and that's prema. The conclusion is that one should unhesitantly become a worshipper of Lord Krishna, for that matter is plenty of expansion Narayana, and none else. So it's simultaneously one and different. We should therefore concentrate on him only without divination, otherwise our mind will be overcome by the potencies of material creation. If we don't see the potencies of the material creation as gods, then we'll see them as us. And we'll become entangled with the modes of material nature. So this was the Virat Rupa. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to the second canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The First Step of God Realization. So I think there's no time for questions. Srila Prabhupada, please.